couple of weeks ago here at church, many of you met or at least saw our friends from Winnipeg. There was a family that was sitting with us at the time. And something that was so fun and refreshing and exciting was seeing their excitement and amazement over our surroundings. Many, many times they commented on the trees and on the ocean and on the mountains. They couldn't get over how beautiful it is here. And that we get to see this every day, and that we get to actually live in this beauty, to which we constantly responded, what are you looking at? What are you talking about, this beauty? Because we take this beauty for granted, right? We get used to seeing it. We get used to talking about it, being around it. But when someone from the outside comes in and is astonished by how gorgeous it all is around us, it's like a jolt or waking up from sleepwalking. And we realize that, hey, maybe we don't get it. We don't get how beautiful and how good we have it here. We might nod in agreement that, yeah, it's beautiful, but we are used to that kind of language and the visual, and it seems like we don't see the greatness right before us anymore. We see the surface, the snapshot picture, but we don't understand how amazing it all is. We don't stop and think about and try to understand how amazing this place is. And I suspect that we do this also with the Lord, with God. We're not astonished by Him. We sang a great song that had some of those words in it, that I'm astonished, I'm amazed by You. And I think often we're not astonished by Him because we think we got Him. We know Him. We get Him. He comes up in our conversations and we use some pretty awesome words about Him, like holy, sovereign, and merciful, and loving, and powerful. And we think we know those words. We got this. We know God is these things. But I don't think we get it. I don't think we get Him. Understand how big and beautiful God really is. I don't think we stop and think about Him and meditate on who He is. Meditate on what all those descriptive words mean. And look at His creation and think about how He has displayed things about Himself in the creation right before our eyes. We're not captured by who He is. Instead, we get distracted and busy and don't give time to His Word and His creation, which tells us about Him. We are made for the glory of God. Meant to live all of our lives for the glory of the Lord. We are meant to contemplate God. We're meant to be satisfied in God. Joy and satisfaction are found in Him. And we can find joy and satisfaction and growth in Christlikeness and increased faith and trust and a truer understanding of God when we focus on just some of His glory, which is displayed all around us. This is what Psalm 19, verse 1 points to. This is what Psalm 19, verse 1 says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So, this isn't about me saying, oh, we just need to see how gorgeous it is around us and say that a lot of times. No, that's not what it's about. Creation points to the Creator. And this morning, I just want to try considering, contemplating this, the amazingness of God by looking at the heavens which declare God's glory and proclaim something about Him. Now, you might have heard some of these things that I'm going to say. I've touched on them myself on some of the sermons in the past. But try to hear these things in a fresh new way, as if you just arrived to Shemanis from Winnipeg and you're seeing this for the first time. Okay? Let's try doing this. I want to say that I am indebted to the work of a guy named Sam Storms in his book called One Thing. I've benefited tremendously from his ministry in that, and unpacking God's word there. So if you ever want to pick up a book, that's a good thing to do. I'm going to exclusively talk about space. Space, up in space. Describe some of the things that God created, and hear some descriptions that scientists have provided in order to catch a glimpse, in order to catch a deeper glimpse of the Lord. And there is a risk here. Some of you will tune out right away because you're just not interested in space. You know, that's like belongs to Star Wars and Star Trek, and I'm not into that kind of stuff, so I'm tuning out and thinking about a different TV show. But this is not about space, really. It's about the creator of space and getting to know him better through what he has created. Okay? So that's the direction we're going in. Okay. So when we don't really understand something, we try to relate to it through something we do understand. So when you hear that bungee jumping up in Nanaimo is from a bridge 150 feet on top of a creek, you say, well, how high is that? And I say, well, it's as high as a 15-story building. Ah, okay, I got it. It's that kind of thing. So most of us have traveled on a commercial jet. So we have a pretty good idea of how fast jets are. This summer, we flew to Winnipeg in 3 hours instead of driving for 30 hours. So flying is pretty awesome and fast. So the speed of jets can help us better understand speed and distance in God's creation. So the average commercial jet travels at about 550 miles per hour. So for simplicity, let's just say it travels at 500 miles an hour. So we can get down to Victoria in 6 minutes. Wouldn't that be awesome? So we've all heard of the speed of light. It's the speed at which light travels in empty space. So light travels at 186,000 miles per second, which is just over 11 million miles a minute, which is like 669 million miles an hour. Okay, this is a huge, huge number. 669 million miles an hour. So take that a little bit further. Light can travel just over 16 billion miles in a day. So that's almost 6 trillion miles a year. So that's a light year. So when we talk about light years, a light year is 6 trillion miles, which is like 12 million round trips to the moon. Just incredible numbers, right? Crazy. Now listen to this. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he created everything. Absolutely everything was created by God. Genesis 1 verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created the human brain, gave us wisdom, we came up with these amazing jets, 500 miles an hour. Genesis 1 verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light that travels 669 million miles an hour. God made that. He said it, and it came into being out of nothing. God created that. Now let's use the speed of a jet and the speed of light to understand how big space is, how big God's creation is. A trip to the moon would take a jet, 500 miles an hour, about 20 days of straight flying. It takes light 1.3 seconds. A trip to the sun would take a jet more than 21 years of straight flying. Light, around 8 minutes. The closest star is about 25 trillion miles away. It would take light a little more than 1.5 years to get there. A jet, around 6 million years. The solar system, okay, a solar system that is closest to ours is called the Andromeda Galaxy. It is 2.5 million light years away. Now remember, a light year is around 6 trillion miles. And it's 12 million of those. If we could travel with the speed that so that we can get to the sun in like 1 hour, that would be traveling at 93 million miles an hour. So if we could travel at 93 million miles an hour, it would take us over 7 years to travel a light year. And it would take us around 6 billion years to get to the nearest galaxy, that galaxy called the Andromeda Galaxy. The furthest solar system that the Hubble Space Telescope can spot is 78 sextillion miles away. That's the number 78 with 21 zeros. Space is huge, way bigger than we can comprehend. Way bigger. Don't just let this slip away. Oh, I just found about some numbers. Listen to those numbers are descriptive of what's up there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is giving us just an idea of how big things are up there in space, which serves us in helping us know how incredible God is. He created all of that. And all those incredible distances are laid before Him. All that stuff that's 78 sextillion miles away, everything that happens there is right before His eyes. He made that one and put it there. He made this one and put it there. God did that. So listen, children of God, your Heavenly Father made all that stuff. He made all of it. Let's keep going. There's more. Psalm 147 verse 4 says, He determines the number of the stars and He gives to all of them their names. Let's flesh this out a little. The Milky Way is our galaxy. End to end, it's 100,000 light years across. Again, a light year is 6 trillion miles. So it's 100,000 of those. That's a light. The Milky Way contains around 150 billion to 200 billion stars. You know, these numbers just get crazy. You know, there could be 150 billion, but there could be 20 billion more than that, or 50 billion more than that. We're just not sure. You know, it's just outrageous amounts of these numbers here. However many there are, God knows exactly because He created each star. Creator created them. He knows each piece of His creation so intimately that He names it. The sun. The diameter means the measurement from one furthest point to the other furthest point going right through the middle. So the diameter of the sun is 864,000 miles. Some say that you could fit about 960,000 Earths into the sun. Break open the top, pour in 960,000 Earths. Huge! The sun is amazing, but there is a star called the Pistol Star that's 10 million times brighter than our sun. There are these things called quasars that are these blobs of energy like stars. They are so powerful that if you are within 1.2 quadrillion miles of them, you'll be vaporized. And one quasar was found to radiate more brightness than 150 billion of our stars. The Crab Nebula. This star exploded and became this ball of energy, and it's guesstimated to constantly be putting out 10 quadrillion volts of electricity. One last piece of space info. It has to do with weight. The Earth weighs about the number 13 with 24 zeros in pounds. But there are stars 50 million times heavier than the Earth. And there are 150 billion galaxies containing billions of stars, which means that's a lot of heavy stars moving around up there. And then there is a different kind of star called the neutron star. They are only about 10 miles across, but these little stars are heavier than our sun. And it's estimated that one sugar cube weighs about 100 billion pounds. It's mind-blowing. So you built yourself a house, or you built a company, or what was your career? Who cares? The Lord built it. Sorry, 100 billion tons. Can you do that? The planets, the solar systems, galaxies, they're amazing. There's a lot of big, heavy stuff moving around up there. Yet none of it is self-existing. None of it. Everything was created by God. All those distances between planets and stars, all that brightness, all that destructive energy, and all that weight, all of it God holds in its place with ease, effortlessly. God holds it in His place. And this is just a small, small taste of the hugeness that God created and holds in place. He is amazing beyond what we know. Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Church, who is his equal? Whose ability is like his? And whose affection for you is greater than his? None. Psalm 33, verse 13 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man." Psalm 32, verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." So in these and many, many, many passages, God tells us that he sees you and I. He can't lose sight of you and I. And because he understands everything, like knowing how to keep space functioning, and surely your life is not more complex than space, because he understands all and loves you, he is more than capable of taking care of everything going on in our lives. Hopefully what's happening to you and what's happening to me and happens more and more and more is what movies like to do. They like to surprise the audience. And one thing that I've seen done a few times is to surprise us with how much authority and power a person has when we thought they had none. You know, a character is introduced as simple and nice. People treat her a certain way, and all she says about her work is that she works for some company. Then you find out that she runs this massive company and has incredible authority and responsibility. And when the other characters realize this, then everything changes. Now they know how super awesome this person is. Hopefully, that describes us. That we grow in knowing God better and better and better. And we can grow in a truer understanding of him by his grace through the Holy Spirit, by meditating on God through Scripture with creation. We can grow by meditating on God through Scripture with creation. And when we do this, we'll notice some things. I'm just going to say a few things that we'll notice. Number one is we'll notice that God wants to be known. He has displayed his character in creation, and creation sits there as an invitation to know the sovereign holy God. Now, John Calvin said that God is incomprehensible, but in his individual works, he has engraved unmistakable marks of his glory. God displays his glory to us in his creation. He displays his care. He displays his creativity. He displays his joy. And it's an invitation to us to come and know him. His greatness is too much to comprehend, but we can gaze upon his works and what he has done and know him more. Calvin also said, creation is a sort of a mirror where we can contemplate God. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 to 20 tells us that some of God's attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, can be seen in creation. And for us who have been saved by grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes so that we can see God's divine nature and eternal power in his creation. God wants us to know him better, and creation stands as a constant invitation for us. Meditating on God through Scripture with creation also, number two, grows God's greatness in our hearts and starves sin. God grows, I shrink, sin shrinks. You know, just spend a little bit of time thinking about a sugar cube size of matter weighing more than 10 billion tons. How does that work? But that is totally within God's ability and understanding and joy in creating. When we think about these things, these types of things, God takes his rightful place in holding our astonishment, our amazement, and maybe our obsession too. And sin begins to look ridiculous compared to this holy great God. starves. Sin starts starving. We start starving sin's attraction, because how can sin stand before such a beautiful and holy and amazing God with its trivial little counterfeits? Here, look at me, do this, indulge in this. Wait a minute. Oh, the Lord. Fantastic. Meditating on God through Scripture with creation can starve sin by lifting high the greatness of God. Maybe some of us are so into coasting or so stuck in some of the sin that we're in, maybe it's alcoholism, maybe it's consumerism, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's just being so selfish, because we're so hooked on getting our gaze away from the Lord. We're so amazed by ourselves and this trivial stuff over here, instead of truly being amazed by the holy God who created everything. Wow! And the last one, meditating on God through Scripture with creation, helps us understand more how loved and secure we are in Christ. In all of God's creation, nothing is equal to the people God created. Nothing. What's amazing is, in this huge creation with incredible numbers, God knows exactly how many billions of stars and galaxies there are and where they are, so much so that He names them. If that much attention and care and oversight is given to creation, how much more is given to His children? How much more given to those for whom Jesus Christ died on the cross? How much more attention do you think will be given to those that Jesus came and put on? He's the creator and the sustainer of the universe, everything that's out there. He puts on full humanity, comes and is born of a virgin to come and die for our sins. How much more attention do you think we will get from the holy God? How much? A little bit? Oh, God's been ignoring me. What? He loves us. He loves you. He loves His children. With all that stuff, that space stuff going on, you are full on, all over His radar, in His thoughts. He's got you in His eye. He delights in you. Where else would His thoughts and His gaze be? We have got nothing to worry about with all that crazy complexity of space, and He's got it firmly under control. We have no worries about our lives. We are in His hands. You know, this isn't about minimizing ourselves and stuff that goes on in our lives. It's about realizing the capacity of our Lord. All those things of prayers of the people, we're not saying, "Oh, just do away with them, you guys. Come on. Get rid of that stuff." No. Bring all that stuff before the holy and sovereign and all-powerful Lord. Bring that to Him. Now look at it. Now look at liver transplants. Now look at lost people. Now look at what's coming up this week. Now look at the sin that you're stuck in. Now look at it. Wow. Meditate on God through Scripture with creation. Meditate on Him through Scripture with creation. Let's say an extremely rich person came up to you, showed you their wealth and their property. Just showed it to you, all of it, and it's incredible. And told you that they would take care of you. They are on your side. No matter what you get into, they are for you. No matter what you get into, they're for you. How would you live? How would you live? I suspect you would live very, very differently. The sovereign Lord, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth, is your loving heavenly Father. He is our loving heavenly Father. We belong to Him. We are found in Christ. We are His possession. He will take care of us. What use is it to look up to space and hear about the Science Channel or the History Channel, whatever it is on there, these magazines talking about space? What use is that? every time they talk about something, we can go, the Lord made that. That's incredible. That's incredible. And guess what? I'm his prized possession. I'm more important to him than the crab nebula. I am through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.